We have one of the owners from Sanctuary Games in the studio today, and we have Summer, who works at the store. Perhaps, Aaron, you could tell us why you opened the store in town?
Yeah, sure. So we actually moved here, my partner and I, for nursing experience for her. So we were planning to be in here for about maybe 6 months in town. And I was bartending up at Setter's, just passing time. And I bumped into some Magic players and I asked them, hey, where do you guys play your card game? And it was kind of sad. They told me, oh, we play in the grocery store conference room because we don't have a game store in town. And Anupad always wanted to open a business. So we just went from there.
And when was that?
That was early on in 2019. We opened just before COVID hit.
Did you say you were from out of town?
Yeah, so we moved here. Well, I guess we met in Calgary. I'm from Richmond originally. She's from India. We met in Calgary. We lived in Vancouver for about a year. And then we moved out here because her sister was doing some nursing work at a nursing home here.
When you first opened the store, you were actually further up on Hudson.
Yeah, we were right beside the candy vault.
And what made you move?
When the landlord approached us and said that the corner was coming up for lease, we couldn't really say no to it. It's probably the best retail corner in town. It costs way too much, but it's hard to pass up a location like that. It gave us a lot of room to grow.
Well, that's good. And people can come and play games in the store?
Yeah. So we have play tables in the back. We have a fully developed basement now where we host events of up to 30 people at a time. The basement's fully booked every night now, I think, except Monday. But.
And Summer, how long have you been with the store?
I've worked there for 3 years.
What sort of things do you do in the store?
Bubble tea, sales, run events, help manage employees and train. And
so you do a lot.
A lot, yeah.
I know sometimes it's hard to keep track of everything that you do when you're asked point blank. Are you from town?
I'm originally from Enderby, but then I moved here a few years ago.
Long distance, wow.
Moved to the big city.
Yeah.
What kind of challenges have you guys had to face opening up a store like a gaming business?
Well, I guess the first challenge that we faced was opening a store that was completely based around people getting together and playing games together 3 or 4 months before social distancing and social shutdowns happened. So when we originally opened, it was going to be much more heavily focused on the cafe and the event side of things. And within 3 months, we had to kind of change our entire business plan and start from scratch. So that was probably the most interesting part, but...
What sort of things did you do to adapt?
We took out all our tables, I think, like most people did. And we brought in new product lines like toys and more games. We focused a lot more on the to-go drink business than we originally intended. It was supposed to be that we just did kind of bubble tea and milkshakes for people playing in the store was the original idea. And it quickly became like one of the biggest parts of our business, just being a to-go fast food drink store.
And how has business been since, now that most of the issues have sort of subsided?
Well, the issues are just starting, in my opinion, for small businesses here in Salmon Arm. With inflation out of control and a lot of us running small businesses based around things people absolutely don't need in their life, but just enjoy. We're definitely looking forward to quite a pinch coming up as people struggle to afford groceries. It's hard to justify buying Pokemon cards or bubble tea.
Mind you, games can be addicting.
They can be, and they're a good escape. And overall, if you buy a board game, you can play it for countless hours, or if you go to a movie, you've seen it for 2 hours and it's done. So for return on investment for entertainment, games are really, really good. So a lot of people kind of went that way through COVID.
So Summer, you run a lot of the events there. What kind of events would people be able to attend at Sanctuary Games?
Well, we have a Pokemon League, which is for kids between 5 to 12, and then they can come down every Sunday, 1:30 till 3:30, and get together and play, and they get points for other things and just winning battles, mentoring and sportsmanship, and then giveaway prizes at the end of the month. Points like add up, so at the end of the month, it's not just the kid who has the best deck that won. It's fair, and we give away some pretty cool prizes like elite trainer boxes and other cool things. And then we have another event for like kids around the same age group. It's Junior Swordmaster. So we have professional LARPing equipment, and kids all get together at the Upper South Broadview Field battle. We have different storylines that we're doing. There's an evil pirate king, and then giveaway prizes as well, like gift cards and free bubble tea. And then we have armor, battle axes, swords, bows and arrows, bunch of cool stuff like that. We're starting it up this Saturday on the 13th between 4 till 6. And then we have 24 spots available. We still have some open. And then it's going to be every sunny Saturday until pretty much the end of the summer, it sounds like. Yeah. And we have like Warhammer every Wednesday, 6 till 10. We have three D&D groups that are 18 plus, and those are, they're all 6 till 10. We have Friday Night Magic every Friday, as well as like pre-releases, Lorcana every Monday. Are we still doing that?
Every second Monday.
Yeah, Lorcana every second Monday, Magic Drafts every second Monday, Yu-Gi-Oh! Every Sunday, Warhammer on Sundays, and then is HeroClix still going?
Every other Saturday.
Yeah.
That's pretty busy, and that's all downstairs?
That's all downstairs, yeah. Except for the LARPing, which is outside with all the swords and shields. And
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So that's live action role play, right?
Yeah.
And how did that all start?
For us or in general?
In general.
I'm not sure. I would just imagine that a lot of people who are fantasy buffs made some pretty cool looking swords and kind of reenacted wars and went from there. You know, a lot of it's fantasy based, so maybe D&D players wanted to go and hash it out on a field with a sword, right?
This sounds really cool. So this is actually two people physically sword fighting? Is that what you're saying?
Two teams, yeah. So we bought really expensive, really safe, very realistic foam weapons. So it looks just like a real sword. And the shields are, I guess, just real shields. And what we do is we split the kids into two teams. And then we'll have usually a little story about why the teams are fighting each other. So sometimes there were goblins and sometimes there were pirates or knights or whatever else. And then, yeah, we do big team battles. And then at the end of the day, we do what we call the Grand Melee. So instead of being team-driven, it's every kid for themselves. And we make sure that everybody's engaged in combat. So Adrian, my co-host, and I will go coward hunting. Anybody trying to just hide away from the battle to be the last one standing, we go and kill them ourselves.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a blast, yeah. Good exercise, too.
What age group is this?
5 to 13.
13, 14. They also get points for the most epic death. So when they get killed, they get points if they acted out in a really cool way.
Oh, that's neat.
And then after something like that, what would everybody do?
Some kids come back and get bubble teas or with the gift cards that they win. Sometimes their parents will buy them bubble teas to celebrate if they did like a really good job or if they won free bubble teas or gift cards, they'll do that.
Sounds like you guys have a lot of kids involved in this.
Well, we have the younger kids that come in for the Pokemon and the sword fighting, and then some of them are getting into the other card games too. And then we have a lot of the teenagers that come in for the bubble tea and to play the board games in the back. And then it's kind of an all ages store because we have so much for everyone.
So do you think this is sort of a stepping away from sitting in front of a screen and playing a video game, or do video games and board games and card games still, do people do both still, or what's happening in the games world?
I think people do both still.
Do you sell video games?
Not anymore. We used to sell Switch games.
We just moved away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, back to more in-person hobbies.
Yeah. A lot of people are just really into board games now. There's a lot of people that buy pretty much every new game that comes out or is always special ordering games we've never heard of and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
From different countries or something, like maybe Japan or something?
Yeah, they're designed all over. So kind of the most popular game, Catan, was a German designer. But there's all sorts of American games, European games, Japanese games. They're all localized into English and distributed through wholesalers. But there's a big website called Board Game Geek, which a lot of board game players follow. And they'll have tens of thousands of reviews for each game, or they have something called the hotness list, so all the people who are really big into board games and following articles and blogs and designers and everything, they're always posting new ideas there. So definitely a lot of our customers know a lot more than any of our staff do about board games, which is really helpful. No, I'd say board games are a lot more popular in the last 5 years. They've kind of seen a huge upwards trend as people kind of got really tired of the isolation in COVID. So a lot of people tried to find new things to do together that was a little more social and less kind of lonely, basically, right? To play a board game, you have to sit around, look each other in the eye. It's not over a microphone or right? You're sitting at a table just like people used to.
Right. Do you do board games, summer card games?
Yeah, I like the fast-paced ones that don't take too long because I don't have a huge attention span, but there's fun ones like Exploding Kittens or Mantis and those type of ones like that, which are just fast-paced, easier games.
When I walk past Sanctuary Games, I see people going in there and they look like they're there to be with other people and to have fun and socialize, and it seems like a great place for that.
Yeah, we have a lot of regulars that come in that just like to socialize with the staff, and we make a great place for people to come in and talk and chat, and a lot of people that usually would be either like playing just video games or not coming out to join groups, more into doing that because of kind of how open people are at our store to creating a good community.
Mm-hmm. That's really important.
I have a friend who just loves you guys for the things that you have done for her boy. Do you hear a lot about that?
Yeah, we hear that we create a safe place for people that otherwise wouldn't feel as accepted. We've gotten a few parents that'll come in and say they like the atmosphere we created and how like nice the staff treats everyone as well as other customers and how accepting other people are to new players to games, and nobody's really judgmental. All of our tournaments are more casual so that nobody's getting scolded for not knowing, and everyone's just really eager to help other people and either learning or just talking and stuff like that.
The bubble tea bar, did you plan on starting that right at the start? Was that something that you wanted right away, or did that just kind of...
No, it was something that we started. So original idea was to be more of a board game cafe and serve kind of late food and snacks and charge people to come in and play games, and that all changed with COVID. But actually, when we moved here, so we started with milkshakes. We started with all natural milkshakes, and we don't advertise them nearly enough, but we definitely have a following for the milkshakes. But bubble tea came later. I'm from Richmond, so I used to be able to get bubble tea on basically any street corner. And we noticed there was a lack of it in town, and there were some places that kind of dabbled in it, but if you don't do it all day, you don't get fresh pearls, and it's just no good. So we thought, okay, well, there's also kind of this void here that could be filled with proper bubble tea, so we did that as well. It was an expansion to milkshakes originally, even though nobody knows us for our milkshakes except the diehards who come and get them every day.
So for our listeners who do not know, what is bubble tea?
So bubble tea is a drink. It originated in Taiwan, and basically it's a flavored, it started out as just flavored tea with tapioca starch boiled until it's chewy at the bottom. It's like just an addition. So when you drink it, you get these little chewy things as well. And since then it's kind of evolved into all sorts of things. You can get it with pudding at the base, or we sell lots of popping pearls, which are little juice-filled balls. When you bite them, they pop and you get a little shot of strawberry juice or jellies, or we used to carry aloe. It wasn't very popular in town, but it's a popular base in the city. Yeah, so it's just a flavored drink with chewy things at the bottom of it.
Do you find people just come to your place for the bubble tea?
Oh, hundreds of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of hours do you guys have?
We're open 10 a.m. till 9 p.m. every day, except for Sundays. And then Sundays are 11 till 6. And then we have groups playing after 6, like the Yu-Gi-Oh! And the Warhammer on Sundays. We'll play till around 9 or 10.
Or midnight or 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Goodness.
A lot of the groups stay later than like 9, but staffed for bubble tea up until 9 or later sometimes too.
Do you get a lot of business after hours? Because a lot of places close anywhere from about 3:30 on.
I'd say like in the winter, not as much business after like 6 or 7, but in the summer people come in pretty much up until like 8:50, sometimes even after 9. Just depending on how warm it is that day, usually people will be coming in pretty late. Yeah.
So what other products do you have in their store?
Well, we have anime figures, we have quite a lot of the trading card games like Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, anime figures, manga, we have a bunch of fidget toys, we have like car models, as well as like ships and planes, we have a huge puzzle wall in the back. Oh yeah, we got like graphic novels, hats, wallets, we're bringing in some rings that we have candy that you can't get really anywhere else. We have a bunch of plushies. We have tons of TYs and then like squishables and like there's Douglas toy stuffies, which are like kind of more realistic ones. They're really cute. We have Warhammer paints and like all the model accessories. We're also able to like order in pretty much any board game as well as other things. Paint by numbers, crystal art.
It sounds like your business has expanded as time's gone on because you didn't start with all these things for sale, did you, or did you?
No, we started with almost nothing, actually. Looking back at old pictures, it's very funny. So we have more inventory in the probably 4 feet behind the counter now than we did in our original store when we opened it. We did open with trading cards in mind and board games. And soon after that, we added puzzles and then role-playing game supplies, so Dungeons & Dragons books and that kind of thing. And from there, we added the paint. And then we ripped out all our tables and added toys. And then we have like a lot of rotating things too. So if somebody says, hey, this would be cool to bring in, we'll bring them in. Like Gundam models we bring in every couple of years, it seems like. And a lot of the staff just get to choose random stuff sometimes and just order that and see how it does. So it's always been kind of a thing we've done where if you come in one Saturday and the next Saturday, there's going to be like something there you never saw before. For better or worse, sometimes we get stuck with duds of products, but sometimes we bring in things that are really popular. So,
do you do any events? Like, what do they call it? Like a little Comic Con or something like that?
We've talked about it, but it's a small town, so like I don't know how popular it would be.
Mm-hmm. How do the rates work at Sanctuary Games? Are they hourly or is it per game? Or how does that work?
We charge different things for different events. So for the sword fights, for example, they're more expensive. We have to have 2 dedicated staff and trek out a bunch of gear. So we charge $19 for that. We lowered it from $25, which we had it at last year, to make it a little more affordable in this day and age for people. We're still at $5 to stay and play board games as long as you like, $5 per person. It's probably the lowest in the country now, as most places in Calgary are up to $8 or $9 or $10 now for it, but we've just kind of held it there for years. Same with Friday Night Magic, it's $5 to use the space. Warhammer, we charge $10, but we have custom-built tables and terrain and all sorts of supplementary products that they get to use that we need to replace every so often, so there's a cost there. And our D&D groups are $20, but we pay the Dungeon Master half of that to make sure that they do a really good job, they're committed, they actually show up.
Pokemon's $15.95?
Yeah, and that includes packs and prizes, so yeah, our rates are all over the place depending on what you're coming to do. Mm-hmm. But for just generally showing up to play games with your friends, it's just a flat $5 per person still.
Right.
How many staff do you hire, apart from your Dungeon Masters and...
We have over 20 if you count our army of volunteers who help around the store building and painting. And
you have volunteers as well.
The whole thing was built by the community, yeah, so pretty amazing. Lots of people show up to help whenever we're up to some kind of project.
Yeah, when we were moving the store, a ton of people helped move it over and build stuff. And
well, that's really cool.
Yeah, well, we kind of built it as a store for the community, and then the community kind of helps us out too, right?
Well, that's great.
Your store is pretty unique in the downtown cores. Do you have any sort of collaborative interactions with any of the other business owners? Or?
I think everybody gets along pretty well. So whenever we get asked for something, I'll tell them where to go. So, you know, if somebody asks for kids learning games, we'll say, hey, go check out Rhymes with Purple. Or if somebody says, hey, I'm looking for this type of snack or treat, you know, go to the candy vault. Or looking for candles or cool handmade stuff, go see On Alex, right? So we kind of all do that back and forth. It's mm-hmm. a pretty tight community of business owners. And we're all in a Facebook group together too, the Merchant Association. So mm-hmm. yeah, so we all get along and try to help each other out and try to keep all the customers in town as best we can. Because when somebody goes to Amazon or Walmart, that dollar disappears into the States, never to be seen again. But if people shop at a local store that circulates locally in Salmon Arm, which we're all keen to see as business owners here.
So did you find that there was, well, you started your store just before COVID. So have you found that there's been a growth since that time? after the pandemic sort of died off?
Yeah, they say that it takes about 2 years to have a store open before it becomes permanent in people's mind. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really hard to measure whether it was just natural growth or COVID-driven growth or just more people realizing that we're there. We still get people every day going, oh, I didn't know there was a game store in Salmon Arm.
Yeah. And then when we moved, a lot of people were like, is this new? I didn't know this existed.
Well, we had one store say that when they moved, people thought they'd shut down.
Oh, us too. Yeah. Yeah. Sean from the Candy Vault had to reassure a lot of people and take them out and point at the new store. So yeah, as they came and saw, we were not there anymore. But yeah, so we saw a lot of that when we moved. But being a small town where it travels pretty fast, no, they're not closed. They're across the street. Yeah, we still get tourists who are like, oh my God, you closed down for 2 years and here you are in a bigger store. I say, no, you just didn't stop here last year, you know.
How did people find out about your games room downstairs?
Yeah, we have like some posts about it. And then when people come in, we'll always mention the room in the back and then the games room so that everyone knows what we have. When we let people know about our events, we tell them where it is. Sometimes we'll give them like a little tour around because we keep renovating the downstairs and adding new things. We added a singles wall. We added a fish tank. We have a TV down there. Just keep adding new things. So every time people come in, we let them know.
What's a singles wall?
We sell Larcana and Magic singles, and they're just singles of cards. So if somebody's looking for a certain one, just to add it to their deck or just to have as a collector's item, then we just have them there. And then we just built a display wall just so everyone can see them.
Is there anything you'd like our listeners to know? Anything else that you do or products that you have?
Anything coming up?
Any events coming up? Yeah.
We've got lots of new products and events coming up, but I guess if we were going to say anything in closing, it would just be to thank the community for always supporting us and our fellow local businesses. And especially as we're going into this next recession here coming up, where inflation is really kind of putting the gears to all of us. The more people support local, the more local businesses will be able to support the community. So shopping at our store, the Candy Vault, or Rhymes with Purple, or Remarket, or any of us local guys, that money's going to stay local. We're going to use it to pay local people. And it's going to stay in the local economy and make Salmon Arm a better place to be. So just a big thank you to everybody who supports local businesses in town.
Great. Thank you.
Well, thank you both for coming in and having a chat with us. It's been really great to get to know you and learn more about Sanctuary Games.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.